mean age or maturity. We prefer the word maturity. Well, I read an article in a national magazine, it spoke of life experience in this matter. It's later than you think. Everything is farther away now than it used to be. It's twice as far to the corner, and they added a hill. I notice I've given up running for the bus. It leaves faster than it used to. It seems to me they're making steps steeper than in the old days, and have you noticed the smaller print they use in the newspapers now? There is no sense asking anyone to read aloud. Everyone speaks in such a low voice, I can scarcely hear them. Material in dresses is so skimpy, especially around the hips. It's all but impossible to reach my shoelaces now. Even people are changing. They're much younger than they used to be when I was their age. On the other hand, people my age are much older than I am. I ran into an old classmate the other day, and she had aged so much she didn't remember me. I got to thinking about the poor thing while I was combing my hair this morning, and I glanced in the mirror at my reflection, and believe it or not, they don't make mirrors like they used to either. So much for change. God uses so many different tools to change us, to break that hardness off of us, to humble us. King David was a man that had a heart after God, says the Bible, a man who faithfully followed God's plan. And yet, we spoke out about a time in David's life when he got full of himself, and he decided what he wanted to do instead of what God wanted him to do, and he committed a terrible sin. He committed adultery and murder, and just murder and got compiled, everything compiled, one sin after another. And he lived under the condemnation of that sin for over a year before Nathan came to him, and then David repented. A whole year he lived with that. And we learned all that from Psalm 51, where we began this series, Curing Heart Disease. And we learn that the sacrifice that is only acceptable to God is a broken and contrite heart. But today we're going to look at the reward of an experienced heart. And I invite you to turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. You see, God has to deal with us just like we have to deal with our children often. And we learned that last week, that if God doesn't correct us or provide suffering in some way, then he doesn't love us enough. He doesn't love us at all. So God, that's why suffering happens in our life, out of God's love. Psalm 119, it's in the Old Testament, and I invite you to turn there, and I'm going to read to you verses 6 and 7 this morning, as we look at experience. Verse 6, "Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands." I circled that, and I put beside the word commands, God's word. "I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees." I circled that, and I add the word, the Bible, God's word. "I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me." The reward of an experienced heart is excessive learning. Excessive learning. Now, I know some people, they learn and learn. Some people are working on their third doctorate right now. And I'm just working my way to seeing doctors. I mean, that's how I'm. But some people dislike learning, but most want the experience. I remember applying for a job. I was out of high school. How many of you are out of high school? A few of you aren't, because you didn't raise your hands. How many of you are in high school? Yeah, that side, that section, a couple over here. I remember applying for a job out of high school, and my parents said I needed to start working, and I don't know why. They said I couldn't laze around the house all day and critique TV shows. I don't know. They said I needed to find a job. And so I opened the newspaper. you know, that's it's a thing that unfolds. It looks like this. And just for those of you, it's not a web page or anything. It's you know, because we didn't have it back then. And I opened the newspaper, and every single ad said in the newspaper, experience needed. Experience needed. Dishwasher experience. I mean, I washed dishes in our home. I did. I could wash dishes. I could do it, I thought, very successfully. My brothers had a different opinion on that. But I did, but that wasn't the experience they were looking for. I couldn't dig. I thought, how can you gain experience if you can't even get hired for the job? So my dad, one day, he asked me, how's the job hunting going? And I said, Dad, I'm sorry, but all jobs require experience. You know, I can't get anything. So I'm afraid I'll just have to continue doing what I'm doing. So Dad opened up the paper, and the first thing he noted was a job that didn't need any experience at all. He pointed to it. He said, here's a job. What's wrong with this? I said, that's not the one I'm interested in. But I went and sold vacuums anyway. And I got some experience. I got my paycheck, and I got more experience. When my mother said to me, she said, all right, now you have to pay room and board. I thought, what? I couldn't believe it. I mean, I was sitting home, and I said, I was better off sitting at home watching TV. I don't need this kind of experience. I also learned from that experience as well from my mother. I didn't work very long in the vacuum cleaning business. I moved my way up the ladder to something much, much better that required my sales experience. I was a telemarketer. Some of you probably hung up on me. You see what happens when you go hog wild in excessive learning experiences? Let's go from one thing to another, and you learn all the way up the ladder. I like the way the Amplified Bible puts Psalm 119, verse 6 and 7. It says, then shall I not be put to shame by failing to inherit your promises when I have respect to all your commandments. I will praise and give thanks to you with uprightness of heart when I learn by sanctified experiences your righteous judgments, your decisions against and punishments for particular lines of thought and conduct. The Amplified Bible uses the words sanctified experiences. I wish that every translation said that. Because a sanctified experience is one of those tools that God uses to just break the hardness off of us. It's one of the things that God uses to teach us that He means what He says. When we revere God, then we know what that means. We understand when we truly revere God, that when He says, do this and be blessed, it will happen. And the others also know when God says, do this and be cursed, you know that will also happen. You see, if we really believe that God means business, then we wouldn't do some of the things we do. Because we do some things hoping that God won't notice and we'll get by with it. I was just reading in the paper. I was reading, this is yesterday's. Saturday's paper. I was reading about a fella who went to the hospital. I don't know if you read in one of our hospitals in Canada. He went to the hospital, and he died in the waiting room, and he sat there for a day and a half before somebody who was in the waiting room went to a nurse and said, "By the way, this guy's there. He's dead, died." You see, and they're hoping that experience does something to change the healthcare system. In that problem, you know? But what an experience. They were hoping to get by with it. Oh, you just go sit in the waiting room. 19th century clergyman Philip Brooks maintained, he said, character is made in the small moments of our lives. Let me tell you, character isn't created in a crisis. We often say that. It comes to light in a crisis. Everything you've done in the past, the things you've neglected to do, come to a head when you're under pressure. Everybody say sanctified experiences. Sanctified experiences. Do you know the word sanctified means set apart for God's use? There are experiences in our life that are set apart, private experiences that we have that are for God's use, even though we don't like them. There are things that God is using to change us. They're not always comfortable, as we learned that last week, but God is using them. That doesn't mean that God necessarily brought every one of them into our life, but it does mean that it was there and he saw purpose for it and he used it for something that would eventually benefit us. Sanctified experiences are those things eventually that will benefit us. They're specially designed by God that change us into the man or woman that he needs us to be. The Lord needs us to be broken. He needs us to be pliable, to be moldable in his hands. God needs us to be easily manageable, not stubborn, not stiff-necked, not self-willed, not hard to move in any direction, except the direction that we want to go in. We need to be eager to learn, not proud, not hard-hearted, but pliable. We need these experiences that God gives to make us yearn for him more and more, so that we're more and more like him. And sometimes we have to have several sanctified experiences before God can ever get through to us that we need to change right here in our heart. We need to change. We need to learn. And David says, if I don't inherit your promises, I will be put to shame. So I will praise and give thanks to you with an upright heart when I learn by sanctified experiences your righteous judgment, your decisions. See, the reward of an experienced heart is excessive learning. Some of you are tired of learning. You just move on to number two, extreme dependence. Extreme dependence. It's really amazing how trouble will change us. You know that? I mean, I always found that as a child. Whenever I was in trouble, it always changed me, you know? I mean, somehow. And if it didn't, my mother made sure it changed me, you know? But look at verse 67 of Psalm 119, way down. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. I like that. Before I was afflicted, but before I was going through this experience, I was getting in all kinds of trouble. You name it, I was into it. But now, Lord, I'm going to keep your word. And look at verse 71. It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees, so that I might learn your word. Let's say you lose your job. That's a horrible thing. Was it God's will for me to lose my job? Was it the devil's fault I lost my job? Why, God, why? Oh, you know, I think we ask too many questions. Oh, you know, Lord, why? Is this Satan? I discovered no matter how I got into it, if I'm going to get out of it, I have to. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. You lose your job, now what? Well, could that possibly be an experience God has set apart just for you? Could it be a time that God sets you aside so that he can do a work in you that needs to be done in order that you can have that future that God has for you? You see, it's often through those moments of deep hurt, concern, experience in our circumstances where we may dig in deeper and really trust God, where we really depend on him. Everything that happens doesn't have to turn out to be some devastating mess. It can actually work out for something better. Might lose your job and you get a better job. Yeah, it can happen. I've heard of stories like that. Lost my job, I became a millionaire. You know? Maybe it's not your job. Maybe it's your health. Sometimes God has literally had to lay me flat on my back to get me to look up. Sometimes God uses situations to cause me to grow and depend on him. God often uses people to get through to me, to help me understand the reward of proper dependence. Maybe you've got some experience with people where you've been hurt by someone that you've trusted. I've had that happen in my life. And it was such a deep hurt in my life, and likely the deepest that I can recall, because it came from, are you ready? You with me? It came from a group of Christian people. Yeah. I know. How come you're not shocked? I never thought they could do what they did. And when they did, I thought it was the most horrible thing in my life. I mean, how could God let this happen? Why, God? Oh, Lord, why? I'm hurting so bad. I don't understand this. It's the devil trying to destroy my ministry, God. Ah. Yeah. Now, the enemy may have been using it to destroy me. But I can look back now. I can look back now. And I can tell you that was an experience that God set apart for my life and called me into a deeper obedience to Him and not have an unhealthy, unbalanced trust in people. We need people in our life, but we certainly don't need to depend on them. We need to depend on God. And that's why people are so offended all the time. They're just depending on people to make them happy or give them what they need or give them the joy that they want or serve them in some way. I tell you, it's the church that shaped us into thinking that. That's why there's so many churches that are serving what people want instead of what God gives. And I tell you, I have learned from that sanctified experience in my life, as unpleasant as it was, and as hurtful as it was, I learned that the church needs to serve God, not man. Be obedient to God. So I am not going to tickle your ears. I'm trusting God to heal your hearts today. Amen? I'm glad you're still with me. I learned to go to God, not run to people. Now listen, I got to tell you, if I had not had that unpleasant experience, that experience that was set apart for God's use in my life, I need to tell you this. I would not be standing here before you today. I would not. And so I praise God for such experiences. What do you think? Do you praise God for sanctified experiences? I have to depend on God. Not people, not my own self, but God. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. We've warped that so much. Here's what it means. Quit going around looking for what you want. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. That's so much easier than trying to make things happen yourself. I go around trying to make things happen all the time. I mean, that's what I was trying to do. You know, there's no job in here that I want. Wait a minute, there's one right here. To go sell vacuums? Come on, I wanted that CEO of that company, Dad. See? Delight yourself in God. It means come to the place in your life where you're pliable, where you're moldable in the hands of God. So it means when you become easily manageable, pliable, adaptable, adjustable, Not people that will only way that it will make you happy is when you do it their own way, or not the only way you're going to be happy is when your plan is working. But you're pliable and saying, God, life becomes so much easier when I realize that I needed to stop trying to run the world. There's such freedom in that. We get pliable and we get moldable in the hands of God. And then He gives us the desires of our heart. Listen, friends, when you're that kind of a person that loves and depends on the Lord and you have a heart that is after God, you stay broken before God, not proud, not stubborn. God will bend over backwards to give you everything that you want because God wants to bless His obedient children. And obedience is the key to power. It's the key to blessing. It's the key to peace. Prompt, extreme obedience and dependence on God. Amen? Experiences that turn out for our benefit. In the long run, they're God-given experiences. Things that humble us. Things that break our pride and the stubbornness of our heart. Things that are too much for us to handle will eventually cause us to turn to God and ask for help. Things that come into our life that are just way too much for us. Well, this is just way too much for me. Good. It's about time that you had something that's way too much for you. Oh, God, this is more than I can handle. And He's going, Sometimes God has to give us things that are just way over our head, way beyond us. We have nothing left to do except, okay, God, I don't know what to do with this. If anything is going to happen, it's got to be you, God, because I'm done. I tell you, that's what happened to me this past week. I had to do that. I said, God, this is way beyond me. And when I say that, when I come to him and I say, God, I give this to you. I can't deal with it. It's yours. He says, it's about time. Brought along a hammer because I really want to hammer this point home today. Oh, that was bad. Brought along a hammer, and I brought along a variety of nails. You know, they're all different kind of nails, and brought along a screw. You know, now, I got a block of wood too, in case you're wondering if I'm going to pound something. The hammer is a very useful and a handy instrument. It's essential. It's a helpful tool. Now, what do you use a hammer for? Is it to pound in screws? What would happen if I tried to pound in the screw? It wouldn't go very far, would it? No. But if you shave off, I noticed, if you shave off this the outer shell of a screw, you come up with a nail. Does it make sense? Okay, so you got a nail. Now, the nail's a necessary thing, but let's say I put this nail in here, and I'm going to try and do this. I'm not a carpenter, so I should have somebody up here who is. Ouch! That's pretty good, eh? Okay, you can all go home. Now, each blow forces that nail to bite deeper as the hammer's head pounds and pounds and pounds. Now, I want to say just for a moment, what if that nail had feelings and it had intelligence? It would give a whole other picture to the side of the story. You see, to the nail, the hammer is brutal. It's relentless. It's an enemy. That's the nail's view of the hammer. And it's correct, except for one thing. The nail tends to forget that both it and the hammer are held by the same workman. The carpenter decides whose head will be pounded out of sight and which hammer will be used for the job. This decision is the sovereign right of the carpenter. Understanding that the nail and the hammer are held by the same carpenter removes the resentment and the pain without any complaint. You see where I'm going? Heartaches, disappointments are like the hammer. All come in all shapes and sizes, an unfulfilled romance, lingering illness, an untimely death, an unachieved goal in life, a broken home, a marriage, severed friendship, wayward rebellious child, personal medical report, a failing grade at school, depression that simply won't go away, habit you can't seem to get over, a person that you just don't like seeing, you go, oh, there's my hammer. Sometimes heartaches come suddenly, other times they appear over the passing of many months, slowly as the erosion of earth. And our life is the nail. You a nail that has begun to resist the blows of the hammer? Are you at the brink of despair, thinking that you cannot bear another day of experience? As difficult as it may be for you to believe this today, the master carpenter knows what he's doing. Your Savior knows your breaking point. The bruising and the crushing is designed to reshape you, not to ruin your life. And your value is increasing the longer he lingers over you. and grants you the reward of an experienced heart. Let's pray. Let's pray. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I just want you to get an image of, in your head right now, of the various hammers that God may be using in your life to shape you better. Maybe it's your situation in your job. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's circumstances that are completely beyond your control. Maybe it's a person in your life that's the hammer. But can you see for one moment how God values you? Can you see one little glimpse that God is shaping you to become more and more ingrained in Him, more and more like Him? Can you see just for one moment how much love God has for you as He walks with you? Are you willing today to take whatever it is, that job or that health or that circumstance or that person, are you willing to take that today and say, God, I trust that heartache to You, the master carpenter in my life? Are you willing to hand that over to Him? Are you willing to say, I give You my pain today, God? I know that this experience is unpleasant, but I thank You that You've set me apart through this experience to learn to be more like You. Are you willing to do that and say that today? If you are, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, would you just lift your hand? I'm not going to ask you to stand up. Just lift your hand. Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Give your pain, your hurt. Lord bless you, Lord bless you. God, take it from me. God, I'm giving it to You today. Lord bless You, 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 Lord bless You. God sees all those hands. He sees those hands. Father, this morning, we sit before You as broken people. And Lord, You say that that's the only sacrifice that You accept is a broken heart. So Lord, we thank You. We thank You that You allow these experiences into our life where we can remain broken before You. Because God, we don't want to get to a point where we're so proud, where we're so stiff-necked, that we don't love You, or that we don't trust You, or that we don't depend on You anymore. And so, Lord, we surrender today, and we praise Your name, because You're our God, and we love You. We know You love us and value us. We love You, God, for caring enough for us to set us apart for great experiences. We praise Your holy name. And all God's people said, amen.
Stand and sing the benediction.